Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
So, you know, we don't just skim the surface here. We pick a source, something specific, and we really try to get under the hood.
Exactly. We excavate.
And today we're focusing on Ethan R. Esbach's book, Resilient. Specifically, just lesson 3.
Right. Just honing in on that one piece. The mission, if you like, is to really unpack Esbach's perspective in this lesson. What's he saying? What's the advice?
And it's worth mentioning who Esbach is, because he's not just, you know, an academic. He's a qualified mechanical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been involved in, well, all sorts of things. Entrepreneurship, sales, marketing, manufacturing.
Even the film industry, transport side. So a really practical background.
Yeah, which I think grounds his advice. It feels like it comes from kind of real experience, real adversity, not just theory.
Definitely. He frames his insights as lessons learned from his own journey, particularly around building resilience through setbacks. It feels authentic.
Okay, so let's dive in. Lesson 3. The title is Identifying Your Obstacles. Pretty straightforward, but what's the core idea he's really pushing here?
Well, the fundamental concept is you can't overcome what you don't understand. It sounds simple, right? But Esbach argues that really, truly identifying your obstacles, like really looking at them, is the absolute crucial first step. It's not just about knowing they exist.
It's about diagnosing them properly.
Precisely. You need that clear picture before you can even think about a plan to tackle them. It's foundational for building resilience and ultimately for success. Moving from that vague feeling of being blocked
to something specific, like, okay, this is the thing.
Exactly. And he makes it personal too. Does he share any examples from his own life?
He does, yeah. He talks about a time he was trying to complete a degree and, well, he admits it was probably beyond his capacity at that specific moment.
Okay.
And instead of facing the real issues, maybe lack of preparation, maybe just wasn't the right fit, then his initial reaction was just making excuses.
Ah, relatable. Blaming other things, maybe.
Yeah. Or just feeling overwhelmed and not digging into why. He uses that vulnerability to show how easy it is to avoid that honest look in the mirror.
That really resonates, that tendency to, you know, rationalize why things aren't working instead of confronting the difficult stuff.
So if we do decide to get honest, what kinds of obstacles does Esbach tell us to look for? Does he categorize them?
He makes a really helpful distinction, actually. He splits them into external and internal obstacles.
Okay. External first, what falls under that?
Think of things coming from outside yourself, your environment. So maybe financial limitations, a tough job market, societal expectations, even where you live geographically.
The stuff that feels like it's happening to you, the headwinds, like you said before.
Exactly. The external pressures and circumstances.
I got it. And then internal.
Internal obstacles are the barriers that come from within. Your own mind, your own behaviors. This is stuff like self-doubt.
Big one.
Huge. Fear of failure, procrastination. Maybe a lack of motivation or just holding on to limiting beliefs about yourself or what's possible.
So the world hitting you versus you kind of tripping yourself up.
That's a good way to put it. And Esbach's point is critical here.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely need to recognize both.
Why both? Can't you just focus on fixing your mindset or just battling the external stuff?
Well, he argues that approach is incomplete. If you only focus on external challenges like finding more funding, but ignore your internal fear of actually using that funding effectively, you won't get far.
Right.
And conversely, if you conquer your self-doubt, but you're completely blind to, say, a major shift happening in your industry, that's not going to work either. You need the full picture.
Okay, that makes sense. It's the interplay between the two.
Mm.
So we need to identify both external and internal obstacles. How does he suggest we actually do that? What are the methods?
He highlights two main approaches. First, reflection. Really looking back.
At past failures? Or just difficult times?
Both, really. Moments of difficulty, setbacks, times you didn't quite hit the mark. He suggests looking for patterns, what keeps coming up, what barriers seem familiar across different situations.
Like playing detective on your own life.
Kind of, yeah. Searching for those recurring themes. It helps uncover obstacles that might still be active, maybe subconsciously.
Okay, reflection. What's the second method?
Seeking feedback from others.
Ooh, okay. That could be tricky.
It definitely requires some vulnerability, but talking to people you trust, friends, family, mentors, colleagues, can be incredibly insightful. Esbach stresses that other people often see things we don't.
Blind spots.
Exactly. They might notice patterns in our behavior or thinking that we're completely unaware of. especially those internal obstacles.
Can you give an example?
Sure. You might think your main obstacle is, say, lack of time, an external thing. But a trusted friend might gently point out, well, you seem to take on way too much, or you hesitate to delegate. Suddenly, that points towards internal issues like maybe people-pleasing or control issues, things you hadn't considered as the root cause.
Wow, yeah. That external perspective can really shift things. It takes guts to ask for it, though.
It absolutely does, but Esbach positions it as invaluable for getting that comprehensive view of your obstacles.
So we reflect, we ask for feedback, we hopefully get a clearer picture of these internal and external barriers. Then what? Do we just sit there with our list of problems?
No, not at all. And this is where Esbach's perspective gets really powerful, I think. He doesn't want you to just catalog your problems.
Right.
He wants you to reframe them. The key takeaway isn't here are your roadblocks, it's here are your opportunities for growth.
Opportunities? How so?
He argues that obstacles, once identified, aren't just things to be endured or eliminated. They are the very things that force you to learn, to adapt, to develop new skills, to become more, well, resilient.
So the struggle itself is where the growth happens.
Precisely. He advises embracing challenges, not welcoming failure for its own sake, obviously, but seeing the difficulty as a signal that there's something important to learn or overcome. They become stepping stones.
Instead of roadblocks, stepping stones. I like that. It's a mental shift.
It really is. Like a weightlifting, right? The resistance of the weight is what builds the muscle. The obstacle provides the resistance needed for growth.
That makes so much sense. You don't get stronger by lifting air.
Exactly. So the act of identifying and then engaging with the obstacle is transformative.
Okay, this brings it right back to the listener then. As people are hearing this, thinking about their own lives, Esbach's framework gives them a tool. They can start asking, okay, what am I facing right now? Is it primarily external pressures, or is it more about internal stuff, doubts, fears, habits?
And importantly, have I actually named them? Have I moved beyond things are tough to this specific external factor, this specific internal belief is holding me back?
That clarity seems like the real power here.
It is. According to Esbach, that clear identification is the essential first step. It moves you from feeling like a victim of circumstance or your own limitations
to being an active participant in figuring it out.
Exactly. You gain agency just by understanding the specific nature of the challenge. That understanding is the bedrock of resilience.
Okay, so let's wrap up this deep dive into lesson three of Resilient.
Yeah, pulling the key threads together.
We've seen Ethan Esbach really hammer home the importance of step one, identifying obstacles, both the ones outside us.
And the often trickier ones inside us, the internal barriers.
And his methods for doing that, looking back through reflection, finding patterns.
And crucially, having the courage to ask for feedback to get those outside perspectives.
Right. But the biggest takeaway maybe is that perspective shift he pushes for.
Definitely. Seeing obstacles not as dead ends, not as reasons to quit,
but as catalysts. As necessary ingredients for growth and ultimately for achieving more.
Exactly. Opportunities disguised as difficulties. Stepping stones, not roadblocks.
So building on that, here's something for everyone listening to really think about. A final provocation based on Esbach's ideas.
Okay.
Considering that distinction between internal and external barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Take a moment. Is there one obstacle in your life right now that maybe, just maybe, you've miscategorized?
Interesting. Like, thinking something is purely external when there's a big internal piece you haven't acknowledged.
Or maybe the other way around, blaming yourself internally when there are significant external factors at play you need to strategize around. What if you reframed that one obstacle?
Yeah, just shifting how you label it. Could that open up a completely new way of thinking about it, a new path forward?
Something to ponder.
Definitely. It encourages that ongoing work of self-awareness and strategic thinking that Esbach champions. It's about continuing to explore resilience in your own context.
Well, thanks for digging into this with us today. Hopefully, exploring lesson three gives everyone a useful framework for looking at their own challenges.
Hope so, too.
Yeah.
It's practical stuff.